Here tonight. You know, there are a lot of churches that canceled church tonight. And the reason why they canceled church is because nobody would have showed up if they would have had it. And so thank you all for being here. Amen. And being a part of this service. And if we quit right now, it'd be worth it, wouldn't it? But we're not going to. And but if we did, just being able to see these little ones and their parents just giving themselves and dedicating themselves to serve God and then also to just be able to hear the singing that we heard. And that would just be, you could go home right now and be a blessing. But just in case you haven't been blessed enough, let's go to Matthew chapter number 15. Amen. Matthew chapter number 15. And I want to remind you a little bit about what we discovered this morning. And that is, we met a mad mother. We met a mad mother. It's a mother, not against drunk driving, but a mother against demonic destruction here in Matthew chapter number 15. We discovered in the service this morning that the devil is real and that demons are real and that they are out to destroy in any way that they can. And we find here a woman who has a daughter who is indeed demon-possessed apparently. And apparently, whatever demonic activity is going on in this girl's life, that is bringing all kinds of suffering into her life. She is grievously vexed, the Bible says. In other words, she's very tormented because of the demonic activity in her life. This is a woman who is from the area, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. We looked at the coast that she was from in the service this morning and discovered it's very significant. This is not a Jewish woman, but she is a woman who is a Gentile. And we'll see that the reason why that's so important in a few moments. And she has a daughter who is demon-possessed, and she comes to the Lord. And Jesus tells us that she has great faith in verse 28, as we'll see in a few moments. And she is an example of what great faith looks like. The Jewish leaders had no faith, and the disciples in chapter 14 had little faith. But here we find a Gentile woman, who has great faith. From the Old Testament area of Tyre and Sidon is where she's from. That's important, we discovered, because in chapter 11, Jesus had said that if the Old Testament ancient cities of Tyre and Sidon, if they would have heard the messages that these folks heard, the Jews, and if they would have seen his miracles, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And now he gives us a living testimony of a woman from that particular area who had heard about his miracles, no doubt, who'd heard about Christ, and as a result of that, she believed with all of her heart. And this woman is a real believer. She didn't have just a little faith like the disciples. She doesn't have an absent faith like the Jewish leaders, but no, she has great faith. She was going through a crisis. Her daughter was being destroyed by demonic activity. And that is, the devil is trying to destroy her life. Listen, the devil is on the rampage. He's trying to destroy every person that he can. And he is trying to destroy people mentally and emotionally. He starts that from the time they're little bitty children, doing everything he can to bring emotional destruction to their life and mental distraction to their life through the movies that they watch and sometimes through the upbringing that they experience. The devil is out to destroy emotionally and mentally every person that he can. And his whole goal in doing that is to blind their minds to the gospel so that they will not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his goal. That's what he's striving to do. And I want to say to you that you might be here tonight, and I want to tell you that the devil is trying to destroy you. He wants to destroy you in any way that he can. If you're not saved, he wants to so blind your mind to the gospel that you'll never come to Christ. But if you are saved, he wants to destroy your testimony, your walk with God, and do everything he can to destroy your life. But I'm so thankful that in this case, this little girl, however old she was, had a mother who was mad. Amen? And she was totally against demonic destruction. She had had it. And that is, she was not going to go on just allowing the devil to destroy her daughter's life. And she decided that she was going to do something about it. And what she did is, she came to Jesus. She'd been hearing about him. And when Jesus came into the area where she lived, in the area of Tyre and Sidon, the Bible tells us that she came to Christ. And then she begins to cry out to him. And we discovered in the service this morning the cry that she was expressing. The Bible says that she was crying out, "Have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my daughter." And crying out for mercy from him. "Have mercy on me." And she wasn't coming manipulating the Lord. She wasn't coming with a proud, arrogant view. But she was approaching him as one who had nothing to offer him. The idea we discovered in the service this morning, the idea of mercy is the fact that I have nothing to offer. I have no reason for you to help me. Just please do something for me that I do not deserve. And that is, touch the life of my daughter. She approached the Lord with brokenness. She approached him with humility. She approached him with empty hands, with nothing to give, nothing to bring, nothing to offer, and abandoning herself to him. And I tell you that she is an example of what we ought to be. And that is, as you think about the people in your life, maybe in your family or among your friends or those around you and in the extended family or other friends, when you start thinking about them and thinking about how the devil is destroying your life, you say, Pastor, what do I need to do? You need to get mad. Yeah. You need to get against it. That is, get against what the devil is doing and start doing something about it. And here's the right thing to do. Here's the thing that you and I ought to do. We ought to do what this mother did. And that is, we ought to just come to Christ and we ought to begin seeking Him, come to Him, pleading with Him for mercy and grace. The Bible invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and grace in our time of need. And so we can come to the Lord just like she did. And listen, just like the Lord touched the life of her daughter, even so He can touch the lives of those that we also begin to pray for and begin to intercede just like this woman did. And so in the service this morning, I talked about the coast that she was from Tyre and Sidon. I talked about the crisis that she was experiencing, a daughter whose life was being ravaged and destroyed by the devil. And then we also looked at the cry that she was expressing. She was crying out to the Lord specifically, "Have mercy on me." So I want you to pick up with the story tonight, if you would, in verse 22. And I want you to know this, the confession that she was sharing. This woman is an example of great faith, of what it looks like to really believe. And I want you to understand that her faith in Christ is not a faith without a foundation to it. There's a foundation for her faith, and the foundation for her faith is who Christ is. Notice that she confesses her awareness of the person of Christ in verse number 22. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me.'" Now notice how she addresses the Lord. She says, "O Lord, thou son of David." And then she exposes the problem, the crisis. "My daughter is grievously vexed, suffering greatly with a devil or with a demon." And so we've already talked about the crisis and we've looked at the cry for mercy. But I want you to notice there in verse 22, her confession. As she is crying out for mercy, she obviously realizes who Jesus is. And see, that's the reason why she came to him. And that's the reason why that she is crying out to him, is because she realizes who he is. You see, that's the foundation of her faith. When just a few moments when we see that Jesus acknowledges that she has great faith, you say, well, what does that mean? It means that she believes that he really is who he said he is, and that he'll really do what he said he'll do. You see, your faith has a foundation to it. It's got a reason for it. You see, faith is not a leap into the dark. Faith is a step into the light. It's believing what's been revealed. That is, it's believing and taking God at His word and His promises to be exactly what they are. And this woman really believed that Jesus said who He really was. You see, the disciples were having a hard time getting their minds around the fact of who Christ was, apparently. And the Jewish leaders just flat out, most of them did not believe that he was the Christ, that he was the Lord, that he was the Messiah, the promised son of David. They didn't. But this woman, listen, an uneducated, unnamed woman, she simply believed what Jesus said. And she confesses him to be Lord in verse 22, and she does so again in verse number 25, and he is. He is. Not only does she confess him to be Lord, but then she also refers to him here as the Son of David. And that's an important title in the New Testament as well as the Old. It's a title that was used to make the point that Jesus is the promised descendant of David. You might remember that in the book of 2 Samuel, God made a covenant with David, King David. And in that covenant with David, he said that he was going to have a descendant that would come and sit upon his throne, the throne of David, and this descendant would have a kingdom that would be forever. And he would reign forever and ever and ever. He would be an eternal king. And he wasn't talking about Solomon in that passage. He was talking about the one who would come that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And apparently this woman is getting it. She's getting a hold of that truth, that Jesus is Lord and King. that is promised son of David. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Matthew once reveals that to us. That is, when you pass out of the Old Testament, where they're waiting for that promise to be fulfilled of a great king that is to come, and you start reading in the New Testament of the Gospel of Matthew, it becomes obvious in Matthew 1 and verse number 1, the first verse of the New Testament, that Jesus is, he is the seed of Abraham, and he is the son of David. And as you read through that first gospel, and then into Mark, and into Luke and John, by the time you get through the Gospels, the one conviction you ought to have is that Jesus really is the promised son of David. He is the promised king. He is the promised Messiah. He is Lord and he is king. And apparently this woman really believed that. That's the foundation of her faith. It's the person of Christ. Her faith did not rely in her own emotions. Her faith did not rely in what she felt. Listen, it relied in the revelation that had been revealed through the messages of Christ and through the miracles of Christ that Jesus Christ really is the Son of David. He is the one that the Lord promised in 2 Samuel 7, the one who would build a house and whose throne would be established forever, a kingdom forever and ever and ever. Many of the Jewish leaders, not only would they not confess that truth, but they didn't. They tried to stop everyone who did. They wanted to stop that. For example, look back in chapter number 12 for just a moment. In chapter 12 and in verse number 22 of Matthew's gospel, I want you to see this. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil or with a demon, blind and dumb or unable to speak, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw. And notice now, all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? There it is again. Everybody's looking at what's going on, and Jesus just delivered this demon-possessed man, and he's healed of his infirmity, not been able to speak or be able to hear. And the Bible tells us here that after Jesus did that, that everybody's saying, is this not the son of David? This must be the promised king, the son of David. Look at verse 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fella doth cast out devils or demons by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, they said, no. He's not the son of David. The reason why he's casting out these demons and people are being healed is not because he's the promised son of David, the promised king. It's because he's been empowered by the devil. He's been not by God, but by the devil. He's casting out demons by the power of the devil. And in so saying that, Jesus said, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would the devil cast out the devil? Why, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And Jesus told them and warned them in chapter 12, you're in danger of committing a sin that is unforgivable. An unforgivable sin, he warns them, by doing such, attributing the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Well, they tried to shut that crowd up in chapter number 12, but they sure couldn't shut this woman up in chapter 15. You say, Pastor, why not? Because she's mad. That's why. She's a mother that's absolutely and completely against demonic destruction. She's seen the life of her daughter destroyed by the devil. And she's had it. She's not interested in what the Pharisees have to say. She's more concerned about her daughter. She's being destroyed by the devil. And she needs Jesus. And she's willing to lay it all out there, put it on the line, risk it all to believe. You see, she has moved away from any kind of safety. And she's moved into the realm of real Bible faith. Real Bible faith puts it all on the line. It surrenders everything. Real Bible faith says it makes no difference what the Pharisees think, what the hypocrites think, what the religious crowd thinks. I'm putting it all on the line. That is, my daughter's worth it, my child's worth it, my friend's worth it, and I'm going to believe God to do something in their life no matter what anybody else thinks. I'm going to. She's a mad mother. She's totally against demonic destruction. She leaves no place for the devil to destroy her daughter, and she's going to do what it takes in order to be able to find healing and help for her daughter. So they're not going to shut her up. She says, I know you're the son of David. Says, you're the Lord and you're the King. And that's the foundation. That, listen, real Bible faith, great faith, is just taking God at his word. Are you ready? It means all I need is what this book says. I don't have to have anything else other than his word. I can believe based just on his word. I don't need anything else to prop me up. Just what he said is enough. And what Jesus had revealed about himself is that he's Lord and King. This woman believed him. She took him at his word. The Pharisees are looking for another sign in the heavens, aren't they? If you would just do a sign in the heavens, and Jesus said, no other sign. He said, you're going to have the sign of Jonah. That is, I'm going to go into the heart of the earth for 3 days and come out. I'm going to be resurrected, but that's it. There's no other sign I'm going to give you. This woman didn't need no signs in the heaven. She took him at his word. That is the foundation for real Bible faith. She knew who Jesus was, and she believed that he could do everything that he said that he could do. And so you see her confession. The confession that she made, and that's the foundation for her faith. Notice with me, if you would, and this is so good. I want you to see this. Mothers, it's important for you to see this next point. The confidence that she was demonstrating. Notice the confidence she was demonstrating. Beginning of verse 23. I'll read it and I'll go back there and explain it to you. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Here she comes now. She says, Lord, my daughter's demon-possessed. King, son of David, would you have mercy on me? He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Get rid of this woman, for she crieth after us. In other words, she was really making herself known. Everybody could hear. She wasn't whispering. She was not doing this quietly. She was really making a nuisance out of herself. So get rid of her. So he answered and he said in verse 24, here's what he says to the woman. Here's the Lord's response. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I'm not sent to you, woman. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not a good soul winning technique from our standpoint, is it? Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, and he said, it's not meet for the children to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Try that next time you're trying to witness to somebody. Just refer to them with this kind of terminology. Just talk to them, tell them that they're just a dog. Amen. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. I want you to see the confidence that she was demonstrating. Here's what I mean by that. And that is, this woman would not quit. She wouldn't quit. She was so convinced that Jesus could and would. She didn't, listen, she not only knew that Jesus could help her daughter, but she believed he would help her daughter. You see, that's where faith kicks into another realm. It's not only that Jesus could, but I know that he will. That is, I not only know that he's able if he's willing to, but I know it's his will to. Let me show you what kind of confidence I'm talking about. Look in your Bible in 1 John 5. 1 John 5. She had the kind of faith that wouldn't quit, and that's great faith. Great faith. Look at 1 John 5 verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in him. Now this is what this woman had. She had this kind of confidence. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Here's praying with faith or praying with confidence. And that is that I'm praying, I know that what I'm praying is exactly not only what the Lord could do, but it's what he wills to do. And when you get to praying according to the will of God, when you know the will of God, when you know what it's his will to do, then you can pray and you can keep on praying and not give up. And the reason why is because you know that he not only would, but he will. Not only could he, but he will. And this woman was that way. She knew that the Lord not only could do something for her daughter, but she knew that he would do something for her. See, how did she know that? That's how faith operates. Faith enables us to perceive the will of God, to know what God is saying. And those who perceive then can believe. And when you perceive the will of God and believe it, you will receive it. That's the way she was. That's the kind of confidence that she had. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, is the substance of things hoped for or anticipated and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith enables me to know without being able to see or sense. In other words, I don't have to feel it with my fingers. I don't have to see it with my eyes or hear it with my ears. Listen, I can know the will of God by faith. That is, God revealing His truth and me taking Him at His word. Somehow, this woman, God had done something in her that enabled her to know that He not only would, but He will. Amen. See, the Bible says this about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because the Bible says you must believe, those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. This woman had that kind of faith. She knew that He would. So you know what she did? She kept on prevailing in prayer. She would not stop. I use the term sometimes, prevailing prayer. Now this woman demonstrates that. She's a woman that kept praying because she knew the Lord would. And she did not quit and give up until He did. Amen. Her faith received what God wanted. Notice with me, she prevailed through the silence. She prevailed through the silence. The Lord, after she comes to Him and says, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." She comes to Him, and the Lord is just silent. He didn't say a word. Now, folks, He's deliberately ignoring her. I mean, think about it for just a moment. I would think that He'd be impressed by her, wouldn't you? I would think that He would stop and just pause for a moment and said, "I want you all to just notice this woman right here. Notice how she's coming to me and crying out for mercy." But the Bible says it didn't answer a word. It's just like the Lord absolutely ignored her. Now, most folks would come to the conclusion that the Lord's not going to respond. I mean, if you came to the Lord and you was crying out and you put yourself out there, I mean, she's got herself out there on the line, and you came to Him and said, "Lord, please, my daughter, nobody's been able to help her. She's got a demonic problem. The devil's destroying her, and I know You can." And, I mean, you put yourself out there, and He doesn't say anything. He doesn't respond at all. Most people would say, "Well, the Lord's not going to help me," and just give up. But not this woman, because she's mad. She's a mother against demonic destruction. She kept crying out. Even though He was ignoring her, she kept crying out. As a matter of fact, she cried out to the point that the disciples started to suppress her. Yeah. See, she not only prevailed through the silence, but she prevailed through the suppression. The Bible tells us there in verse 23, the Bible says the disciples said, "Lord, You need to put a stop to this gal," and I'm paraphrasing now. "You need to put a stop to her, man. She's just crying out after us. She's just following us around and keeps crying out. This is getting old." I'm paraphrasing. "I'm getting tired of hearing this, and she's really making a nuisance out of herself. And yet, you know, it's obvious she's a Gentile, and, you know, we're Jews sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, as we're going to see in a few moments. And so, why don't You just tell her to go on down the road?" See, she won't stop. Even though the Lord was silent, she still prevailed in prayer. She kept pleading with Him and coming to Him. And even though now they're trying to suppress her, she keeps on coming. Listen, you might know how this woman felt. If you've ever prayed and sought after God with your whole heart, and there's been no response from heaven, but all of heaven is silent, then you know how she felt. You say, "Pastor, why would God be silent?" It may be a test of faith. Whether or not you have the kind of faith this woman had, it's the kind of faith that keeps on seeking and will not be quiet until God answers. She prevailed through the Lord's silence. She prevailed through the suppression that the apostles put on her. And then she prevailed through a statement that would have been extremely offensive to most people who are here. Verse 24, look at it again. I want you to see not only the silence and not only the suppression, but let's notice this statement. He answered. Finally, He says something to her after ignoring her for a while. And here's what He said. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's it. In other words, He said, "Woman, I'm not here to help you. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the Jews." And we know that back in chapter 10 when the Lord sent the disciples out Remember, he sent them, the 12, out on that missionary journey, sent them out two by two to go into the Jewish cities. And he said to them there, don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Don't go into the cities of the Samaritans. Go to the Jews only, because you're sent to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That same phrase is used back there in chapter number 10, verses 5 and 6. And now we see it used here again. The Bible doesn't tell us here what happened with this statement, but I believe that it's at least possible that this woman, he's speaking to the disciples, by the way, but she probably heard it, and she would have heard the Lord say it. The disciples, even if she didn't hear it, the disciples would have went back and told her, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, we're just sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, so you might as well just go on back home. And we're not here to help you. It's not what we're here for. She knew. But I tell you, it didn't stop her. Even that. It wouldn't stop. She kept on praying. She kept on pleading. The Bible says her response was to worship him. In other words, she bowed down before him and she kept saying, Lord, help me. She didn't stop. She wasn't just trailing along behind now crying out. Now she was right there in front of him, bowing down before him and pursuing him with all of her heart. Listen, she was after Jesus. She was what we might call seeking him. For all of her heart and all of her soul, and even though this statement was made and how offensive it must be, and that is, here's a woman putting herself out and the Lord and his disciples are saying, listen, we're not sent to help you. That's not why we are here. So she prevailed on. She prevailed through the silence. She prevailed through the suppression. She prevailed through this offensive statement, and then she prevailed through a offensive story. Verse 26. He answered and said, he tells her a little story here about dogs. It's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And in other words, it's a simple little story about feeding dogs. He told her, it's not right to take food away from the children and give it to the dogs. And all Mama said, I mean, really, you're not going to take food off the table. You lay your food out there for the kids to eat, right? You get them all out there. And you're not going to take food from your kids and let them go hungry in order to feed the dogs. Is that not right? Yeah, that's right. It would be unthinkable, wouldn't it, for somebody to take bread prepared to feed their kids and feed it to the dogs. And what Jesus is doing here, he's comparing the Gentiles to dogs. And the reason why he's doing that is because that's a comparison that Jews made in that day. That's exactly how they viewed them. He's implying that just like it would be improper to take children to take their bread and give it to the dogs, it would be improper for him to take a ministry intended for the Jews and give it to the Gentiles. That's what he's implying. Now that's pretty offensive, isn't it? I mean, think about it. What if you called me on the phone and say, Pastor, you know what? I'm going through a rough time right now and I'd like to talk to you. And I said to you, listen, I ain't got time to talk to you right now, first of all. No. Besides that, I'd rather be ministering to somebody else than you. I mean, why would I take my time that I would like to invest in ministering to Brother Greg over here and instead minister to a dog like you? I would have a feeling that there would be silence on the other end of the line and then a dial tone. Amen? That's what the Lord is doing to this woman. He's saying, listen, he said, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And why would I take the bread that's meant for the children of Israel? And why would I feed it to you, a dog? And he uses that little story. Now, folks, that would be enough to stop most people and cause them to give up and to quit right there. But not this woman. Notice her response in verse 27. She said, truth, Lord. She said, that's right. You shouldn't take the bread off the table from the children, let them go hungry, and feed it to the dogs. What you said is true. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Don't you like that? She's not one to take anything away from the Lord's mission to the Jewish people. She says, I know that you're sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but she's saying that what the Jews don't want, I'm willing to take. Yeah, what it is that Jews won't believe, I believe. And what they're not willing to receive, I am willing to receive, even if it's just a crumb on the floor. Now, that's what we do, don't we, at most people's houses. If you got a pet, maybe you take the scraps off of the table that nobody wants to eat. Nobody wants it. Nobody's going to eat it. And maybe you give it to the dogs. And all the dog owner said, sure, some of you do that. That's a good way to get rid of the garbage. Give it to the dogs. Let them have the garbage. And here's what this woman is saying. Listen, if there's any part of your ministry, if there's any part of your mercy, if there's any part of your mercy that the Jews don't want, I'll just take a little bit of that. That's all I want. Oh, yeah. What you're seeing is great faith in action. Now, I want you to picture this. Jesus has been offering to the Jews the true bread from heaven. They've been rejecting it. But this Gentile woman, a Gentile woman, she's willing to take just a crumb. They're rejecting the bread, and she's begging for just a crumb. You say, Pastor, what was the difference? She really believes. She's a real believer. A woman who has real Bible faith. And it was because that she really believed, are you ready? That she absolutely would not quit. She kept on pleading on behalf of her daughter. Even in the face of the silence, even in the face of the suppression, even in the face of that offensive statement and that terrible story about dogs, even in the face of all of that, this woman was confident that even though Jesus was sent primarily to the Jewish people, he would have mercy on her daughter. And she wasn't going to give up until he did. That's real Bible faith. Folks, listen. Her daughter was being destroyed by the devil. And she was mad about it. She was against it. And she knew the Lord was the only one that could help her. And she kept coming to him and kept pleading with him. And listen, she went through every obstacle that came her way until she prevailed in intercessory prayer on behalf of her daughter, and the Lord intervened and miraculously touched her life. I've talked to you about the coast that she was from, about the crisis that she was experiencing, the cry that she was expressing, have mercy on me. We've looked this evening at the confession that she shared. She believed that he is the Lord, the Son of David. We've looked now at the confidence that she was demonstrating. She would not give up. She had 1 John 5 kind of confidence. She knew the Lord not only could, but he would. And she kept pressing in and praying, overcoming every obstacle in the way until she prevailed in prayer. And then we get to the last point and notice the cure that she received. Verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He healed the woman's daughter. She was miraculously and apparently immediately delivered from the demonic oppression in her life. And having been delivered, she was cured of whatever it was that was the affliction that came as a result of the demonic possession. Jesus cured this woman's daughter. As he did it, he acknowledged her faith. This is the point we've been pushing all service. And that is, Jesus said in verse 28, O woman, great is thy faith. Here's what the Lord wants us to know. This is what real Bible faith looks like. This is an example of real faith, of what great faith really is. It's the kind of faith that Hebrews 11 talks about. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This woman had that kind of faith. He acknowledged her faith, and he answered her prayer. And she received exactly from the Lord what it was that she desired to have, and that was the healing of her daughter. See, that's what the Bible says. Over in Mark chapter number 11, listen to what it says. I'm just about done if you're wondering about it. Here's what Jesus said. In Mark chapter number 11. Jesus said in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." This woman demonstrates what that verse is all about. Listen to Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Here's what he said. Ask, Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Every time you see the word ask, seek, and knock, the tense of those verbs means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You ever gone to somebody's house and knock on the door and you know they're home? Yeah. And just kept on knocking. And that's the idea that we have here. This woman knew that Jesus could and that he would, and she kept knocking until he did. That's great faith. So because the Bible says here that everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. That's right. That's what real Bible faith is about. You see, that's the kind of mother that I believe every child needs to have. The kind of grandmother that every grandchild needs to have. It's the kind of mother. It's the kind of grandmother. It's the kind of father. It's the kind of grandfather. I believe the kind of kids. Listen, kids, if you've received Christ into your life, the kind of kids that every parent needs are kids that will pray and walk with God in prayer and will prevail in prayer until God hears and God answers. I mean, they don't give up. They don't stop. They keep praying, and they keep praying, and they keep knocking, and they keep seeking, and they keep asking until they prevail in prayer, and the Lord answers and begins to move in response to the prayers. That's what God's looking for. Listen, those are the kinds of mothers. Those are the kinds of mothers that are mothers against demonic destruction. You say, "Pastor, what should I do? I've got a child or a grandchild or somebody in my life. The devil is destroying their life." Maybe somebody that's lost and they're unconcerned. Listen, there's no greater destruction than the blindness of the hearts of people to the gospel. Not concerned about their soul. What should I do? You ought to do what this woman did. You ought to become a woman or a man of great faith. It says, I know the Lord not only could, but that he will. And I'm going to pray and prevail in prayer and continue to seek him until he does. That's great faith. That's the kind of woman that this woman was. That's the kind of mother that she was. And as a result of that, her daughter is no longer tormented by demons. She's now free. Yeah. She's now free. And here's the reason why. Is because she had a mad mother. That's why. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth and for your people and, Father, for the work that you're doing in our lives. And, Father, I pray for every mother that is here, for every father, God, every child of God. Father, I pray that you would so operate in our lives that we would learn what it means to really live and to walk by faith. God, a faith, a great faith, Father, even such as this woman demonstrates, that prevails in prayer, God. Lord, until there's the activity of God in somebody's life, until there's great brokenness over their lostness. God, until, Lord, there's healing, until there's a movement of the Holy Spirit upon that person's life. God, would you raise up those kinds of prayer warriors, men and women of God that will prevail in prayer and seek your face and walk with you, that will have that kind of prevailing, that kind of faith to keep on prevailing in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the ways that you've blessed us, Father. Lord, help us, God, to be your people, Lord. A house of prayer, Father. God, a place where folks get a hold of God and pray until we see you begin to move, till lives are changed and hearts are touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all